Would I ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. The Word of God says, "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him," that is, followed Jesus. "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And Jesus stood still and said, 'What will ye that I shall do unto you?' And they say unto him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." I want us to go back and think about the question that Jesus asked in verse 32 after these two blind men had been crying out to Jesus and said, "Have mercy on us, O Lord." Jesus said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you? What would you like for me to do unto you?" Did Jesus already know what they wanted? And yet Jesus said to these two blind men, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" There are many times in the Word of God, there are many times that a child of God might ask, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" For example, when Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus and Jesus appeared to him, he said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" Also on the day of Pentecost, as Peter was preaching and told the people, "That same Jesus that you have crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ," the men cried out and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" All through the Word of God, there are many times that the people of God have asked God, "What would you have me to do?" But on this occasion, Jesus is asking the people, he's asking these two blind men, "What will ye that I shall do to you?" Now, wouldn't that be a wonderful blessing? Wouldn't it be great to hear Jesus say to us, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" I believe that God has taught us in His Word many times that we are supposed to hear Him saying, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" I believe that the children of God typically fall into the ditch on one side or the other when they think about God asking us, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" There are those who constantly are hearing Jesus say, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they're asking God for a big house and cars and riches, and they're asking God for all kinds of things, material things in their lives. Do you know people that their belief is such that they think that whatever they want, all they need to do is ask God, and God is obligated to give that to them? I want everybody here to know that God is not a puppet, and you pull His string, or you ask something, and God has promised that He's going to give you everything that you ask for. So that's one ditch we get in, is we ask God for all kinds of material things. The ditch on the other side, which I think most of us fall into, is that we are not asking God for enough of the things that we should be asking God for. There are many things that we should be asking God for. Every day, there are things that you should be asking God for. As we prayed the example prayer that Jesus gave us, there were several things, whether you were doing it consciously or not, there were several things that you were asking God for. Just like these two blind men, they're going to ask Jesus to give them their sight, And just like we many times in a crisis in our lives, we ask God to help us. But the Word of God teaches that every day there are things that you need to be asking God for. I want us to first think about the fact that God does sometimes just tell His people, "What will you that I shall do unto you?" Do you remember anyone else in the Bible that God basically asked him, "What would you like for me to give you?" Do you remember anyone else in the Word of God, Old or New Testament, that God ever said, "What will you that I shall give you? What is it that you want me to give you?" Who is someone else?
King Solomon.
Okay, King Solomon is one example. Let's back up to 1 Kings chapter 3 and let's see that God did come to King Solomon just like He came to those two blind men in Matthew chapter 20. God came to King Solomon and He asked him, "Ask what I shall give thee." Look in your Bibles at 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Verse 5. Listen to verse 5. I want you to hear God coming to you and saying to you the same thing that God said to those two blind men and the same thing God said to King Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5, the Word of God says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" Do you think that was almost a trial of his faith right then? I think that it was. Do you remember what it was that Solomon asked for? Did he ask for long life?
No.
Did he ask for riches?
No.
Isn't that what many people, when they are asking God for things, they're asking for material riches and for material wealth? They're asking God for natural things that would only result in them being lifted up in vain pride. In 1 Kings chapter 3, after God has asked Solomon, "Ask what I shall give thee," if you'll come down to verse 9, here's what Solomon asked God to give him. In the 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9, the Word of God says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" The Word of God goes on down and talks about how Solomon had asked for something that pleased the Lord. He asked God for wisdom, and God was pleased with that request. And God gave Solomon wisdom and then said, "Because you have not asked for riches, but rather have asked for wisdom and for an understanding heart to be able to judge this people, my people," he says, come down to verse 12. He says, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither shall there be any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk," now listen carefully to verse 14, because this is what Solomon did not do. But God gives him a promise in verse 14 and says, "And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." God gave Solomon what he asked for. What he asked for was for wisdom and for an understanding heart. Did you know that God has also told us that something we should be asking God for is wisdom? James chapter 1 and verse 5, the Scripture says, "Brethren, if any of you do lack wisdom, let him ask," let him what? And that's the three letters of the one word that's on my heart this morning, is asking. We don't ask God enough. We don't ask God enough. God is posing the question to us this morning. What shall I give you? And before you ever ask God for anything, I want you to always pray that God will help you to ask God for the things that are right and the things that are good and the things that God would have you to ask Him for. Go with me to James chapter 4 just a moment. I've already mentioned that in James chapter 1 that God's Word says that we're to ask for wisdom, James 1 and verse 5. But I want you to go to James chapter 4. Listen to verses 2 and 3. These passages that we're going to look at now are talking primarily about asking God for things. In James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, let me ask you this morning. One of the songs that we sang was, Before you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? And did you know that every verse of that song talks about things that we should have prayed for this morning? One of the things it says is, did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another? Is there anything amiss in your heart towards anyone? If there is, you know what you need to ask God for? You need to ask God for the grace and the strength to have a forgiving heart. You need to pray that God will help you to do that would be pleasing to Him. And you can't do what's pleasing to God without God helping you. So you need to ask God for His help. James chapter 4 now. Listen to verses 2 and 3. He says, ye lust. I'm going to ask you a question. Do people who lust after things and who know God and who know God says ask, do they do a lot of asking? Does everybody follow that question? That's a three-part question. Do people who are lusting after things and who know God and who know God is able to give them those things, do they ask and ask and ask for all kinds of things that they ought not to ask for? Absolutely. He says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, listen carefully, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. Do you hear the two sides of the ditch that you can get on there? He says, some people receive not because they what? They ask not. See, that's what Jesus said to Solomon. Ask. Ask what I shall do unto you. We need to ask the Lord for the things that we need. And we don't need to be asking God for all kinds of material things that will only lead to our destruction and our hurt. If someone is sick, is it pleasing to God for us to ask that if it's in keeping with His will, that God would heal that individual? Does that please the Lord? When we know that He is the great physician, should we be asking God, should we be praying for others who are sick? Absolutely, that pleases God. That's acknowledging the doctors and nurses and medication, and nothing is to any avail unless God blesses their work. And so our first request should not be, doctor, what can you do for me? But our first request should be, God, what should we do? What should I do? I need to know where to go. I need to know what to do. I need to ask God. Do you see that sometimes you're not... How many of you would acknowledge that many times you're not asking God when you should be asking God? God has just impressed this on my heart very strongly, that there are so many times Just like that song said, ere you left your room this morning. Before I left my room this morning, I did not think to pray. Now, I prayed this morning, and I prayed at home, but I didn't think to pray before I ever left my room, and I should have asked before I ever left my room this morning. I should have been in fervent prayer before I ever left my room. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I go to sleep praying at night. Sometimes I lay down. Sometimes I go to sleep in my chair in the living room and I go get in the bed and I never even think to pray. But I want to encourage everybody here to know that it pleases your Father to ask Him. It pleases God for you to acknowledge you need God's help. You need to go to your Father. You need to ask Him. Because He says in this passage in James 4 and verse 2, He says, ye receive not because ye ask not. There are many times that the children of God have not received good things from God because they have not been asking for those good things from God. Ask. Here's what God said to Solomon, ask what I shall give thee. Ask. Go with me in your Bibles now back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 is one of the most familiar passages of Scripture to those who are continuously asking God for things. And I have friends, dear friends, that their whole theology is based on them getting rich. And God wants everybody to be rich, and God wants nobody to be sick. I'm telling you, brethren, that sometimes God has a purpose in us being poor. Jesus was poor, and there are many times, I'll tell you that Jesus Himself said that the birds of the air have their nest, and the foxes have their holes, but I have not where to lay my head. Jesus was a poor man. And Jesus taught us that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. If you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you need to understand it so often is because of our poverty. It's because we need His food. It's because we realize we need His help every day. That crying to God, that asking God, and then God granting what we need. That's a great blessing. Have you ever really needed money? I remember right after I started teaching school, I had spent all my money on other things. And I needed $100 to pay my income tax. And I didn't have $100. I had sold everything I had and I didn't have any money. And I went to the bank and I was very much begging. I begged the banker to give me $100. And he said, what do you have for collateral? Now, this is a long time ago. I've got a $100 bill in my pocket now. I was probably 40-something years old before I actually handled a $100 bill. Money was tight. Does everybody understand? Money was tight. And I begged that C.T. Parker was his name, the president of the bank. And I begged him for $100. And when he gave me that $100, even though I didn't have any collateral, I cried. When I went out of that building, I got away from him, I cried. I was so thankful that he gave me what I asked for. Have you ever been so? Do you realize that every day God does more for you than what C.T. Parker did for me that day in that bank? Every day. God does more for us than what that man did for me. Every day, God does more for you than anybody else does for you in a day, or in a year, or in a lifetime. God did more. God has already, even though it's not even noon yet, God has already today done more for you than any other person has ever done for you in all their lifetime. Today. You know what? We need to be saying, God, please give me the things I need. Ask. And then we need to say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you for giving me what I need. Did you know that even sickness is good for God's people sometimes? I think it was good for me that I was afflicted 13 years ago with heart problems. It was good for me. David said, it is good for me. David said this in the 109th, or one of the psalmists says in the 119th psalm, he says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Was it good for these two blind men to be blind? Was it good for them to be blind? Was it good for them to always be blind? But was it good for them to be blind? Why was it good that they were blind? It was good that they were blind because they experienced one of the greatest miracles in their lives. They knew the power of Jesus in their lives like most people have never known. They were blind, and Jesus came to them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? And their response was, open our eyes, give us sight, help us to see. And Jesus granted their request. And they followed Jesus and worshiped Jesus. Go with me now in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7, the Word of God says, and this is Jesus speaking, Jesus says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Does that mean everything you ask for, that God's going to give it to you? Absolutely not. You can pull this verse out of context, and you can teach a lie from the devil. Look at this in its context. After he says, ask, seek, and knock. In verse 8 he said, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give, what are the next two words there? Give good things to them that, what? To them that ask Him. Do you see why I'm burdened that we need to be asking God for good things? God gives good things to them that ask Him. Now if you were to, on this same opening in my Bible, in Matthew chapter 6, and that's what I was mentioning a while ago, when we prayed the example prayer, do you know how many things we ask for? Back up to Matthew 6 and look in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. Matthew 6 and verse 11 says, give us this day our daily bread. That's something all of us ask for. I'm not sure how many of us even thought about it. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Though we're saying the Lord's Prayer together, I want to just encourage you all not to just say those words, but to think about it. You actually are taking the Lord's name in vain when you say the words and you don't think about it. Think about what you're praying. You need to be asking, give us this day our daily bread. Is that something you should ask for? Is that a good thing? Does God tell us that's something we should ask for? He says we're to say, give us this day our daily bread. We're to pray in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do we need to pray, forgive us, Lord? We need to pray, give us this day our daily bread. But we also need to pray, God, forgive us of our sins. We've all sinned. We sin today. You may not have gone out and gotten drunk or done something else like that, but everybody here has sinned. And we sin every day. The very thoughts of foolishness is sin. The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sins of omission and sins of commission. We sin, and we need to go every day and say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Sometimes I offend some of you. Brother Herman, have I ever asked you to forgive me? Brother David, have I ever asked you to forgive me? Why do we go to people and ask them to forgive us? Because we do things that we shouldn't do. Sometimes it's absent-mindedly, or sometimes it's intentionally, regardless of the reason, we sometimes need to ask people to forgive us. And we want people to forgive us. And we should ask people to forgive us. But above all else, we should ask God to forgive us. That prodigal son who had left his father's house, he said, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Did he want his daddy to forgive him? Yes, but did he also want God to forgive him? Absolutely. So we need to ask one another to forgive us, but we need to ask God, ask Him to forgive you. If we confess our sins, 1 John chapter 1 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How wonderful it is that we can go to God and confess and ask Him to forgive us our sins. Do you hear Jesus saying, what will ye that I shall do unto you? What will you that I shall give you? What do you need? Do you need food? Ask God. Do you need forgiveness? Ask God. And then He says, and lead us not into temptation. Do you need to pray every day, God, lead us, lead us, lead us? Do you need the Lord to lead you? The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We need God to lead us, and we need to be asking God to lead us. And then after He says that, He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do you need to be delivered from evil? Deliver us from evil. Is that something you need to ask God for? Are there a lot of good things you need to ask God for? You see what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7, verse 11, that our Father which is in heaven will give good things to them that ask Him. In Luke 11, verse 13, the wording is a little different. In Luke 11, 13, the Scripture says that if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Brethren, you need the Holy Spirit. We need to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have great peace in your soul. And what do you need to ask for? God, fill me with your Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Go with me in closing to 1 John. Please look in your Bibles at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Listen please to verses 14 and 15. The Word of God says in 1 John chapter 5 verses 14 and 15. Let me ask you one question before we close. Can you ask God for anything and He will give it to you? Can you ask God for anything and He will give it to you? Let me back up. If you're real, real good, if you serve God real faithfully, then can you ask God for anything and He'll give it to you? No. The Apostle Paul was as good as any man that's ever walked on this earth other than Jesus Christ, and he asked the Lord thrice to remove that thorn in his flesh, and God did not remove that thorn in his flesh. No matter how good you are, no matter how close to the Lord you walk, you are not promised that He's going to give you everything you want. Listen carefully. 1 John chapter 5, listen to verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that is in God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. I pray that God will help us to always, when we pray, pray not our will, but thine be done. May God help us to be more faithful to ask and be more faithful to believe is my prayer for Christ's sake.